Hey, everybody, it's Becky Davidson, and I want to welcome you to the Rising Above Ministries podcast. In today's episode, you are going to get to meet my friend, Matt Mooney. Matt and his wife, Jenny, founded an organization called 99 Balloons, and this ministry has now spread to over 50 sites and is in three different countries around the world, and they do this amazing respite experience for families called Recess. And so he'll share with us in this episode about 99 Balloons, how it got started, where the name came from, and he'll also share with us a little bit about his family and their story. The other thing I'm really excited about is Matt is going to be our guest speaker for our dad's event that we have coming up next month called SOAR. And SOAR will be taking place on April 17th, 18th, and 19th at Cedar Lake Camp in Livingston, Tennessee, which is right outside of Cookeville, where Rising Above is located. And for just $99, dads can come in, have a full experience weekend with other dads who understand and get what it's like. And so Matt will be coming in. He'll be our guest speaker and will be sharing his heart with these dads, showing the ways that they can be better fathers, better husbands, and truly rise up to be the men that God has called them to be. So we'll have all the information about SOAR in the show notes. So if you know of a special needs dad who could use some encouragement or who would just enjoy being around other dads who get it and understand this life, encourage them to come to SOAR. Again, it's April 17th, 18th, and 19th, right outside of Cookeville, Tennessee in Livingston at Cedar Lake Camp. And Matt will be the speaker. And so once you hear him and you hear his story, I know, dads, you are going to want to sign up and come and be a part of this weekend. Because when we were having a conversation with Matt before I hit record to record this, the girls on the staff are like, oh, man, we really would love to be able to hide out in the back and hear what he has to say at the dad's retreat. We won't, but we really would like to. So I know, dads, that if you will come, you will be so encouraged by what Matt has to share. So enjoy this episode where you'll get to know a little bit more about Matt, about his organization, 99 Balloons, and about his family and why it's important for him to come and share his heart with these dads. So here's my friend, Matt Mooney. Hey, Matt, thank you so much for joining us today on the Rising Above podcast. I'm just super excited about having this opportunity to talk to you for a few minutes.
Well, we're going to have a ball. I just know it.
Yep.
Are you ready?
I don't know. I'm like, I need to like get prepared because, you know, I think that this is going to be an interesting and great conversation, but I really don't know where you're going to go with
it. Yeah, that's the fun part. I don't either.
I just, you know, it's just who knows. And so that's what makes it fun, though.
Buckle up. It's going to be good.
Buckle up. It's going to be a great, fun podcast. So you know, tell us a little bit about your family, a little bit about your story, and how you got started on this special needs journey.
Yeah. So we got started, but our first child, who would be 13 now, so Jenny and I, we got pregnant, we were having our first child, and about 30 weeks pregnant, you know, the doctors began to really find that something was going on and that something was wrong. And so we got a diagnosis in utero of trisomy 18. And so a lot of people are familiar with trisomy 21, which is Down syndrome, and trisomy 18 is similar in that it's a genetic chromosomal abnormality, but 18 is a little considered more lethal. And so a lot of those children don't make it to birth. And if they do, their life is short. Some of them certainly do live longer. And so we didn't know if it was a boy or a girl at that point, but we knew that we had a baby coming with trisomy 18. And so we began to Google.
Dr. Google is never your friend, right?
Don't do that.
Yeah.
Could have learned that lesson a little earlier than we did. And so, Elliot was born and Elliot lived for 99 days. And so
that's pretty phenomenal because most don't live that long, do they?
That's a pretty long life for the condition that he had. And he had full trisomy 18. And so, you know, we now have children to compare him to. At that point, he was our only thing, you know, but he actually had a very great normal. I mean, he was sick. He had oxygen. We were in the NICU for a long, long time with no sleep and all that. And we learned how to take care of him and brought him home. And so, you know, really the easy part of Elliot's life for us, I mean, easy is the wrong word. The easier part was his life. We celebrated his life. We knowing that his time was short, we had a birthday party every day. And so we started out of his life an organization called 99 Balloons. And that's where that comes from. We released a balloon for every day of his life. And so our introduction to parenting was a little, what we call atypical and a little unusual. And so, you know, when he was gone, we were figuring out what life would look like a little bit. We were walking through grief. Marriage became hard for us for the first time. Becky, I already told you, like, for better or worse, the thing about me is I'm honest, you know?
And yeah, so, I love it. No, absolutely.
I remember looking at my wife during that time who, you know, I just loved and saying, like, this is the first time that marriage is not fun.
Yeah.
And it's not, I'm not having fun with you. Yeah. I don't know what we're doing. Yeah. And we had sailed through our first 5 years of marriage. We were in love and we were young and naive, stupid, dumb, all of it. And, you know, grief for us was just the beginning of just a really hard walk. And so, you know, in our faith during that time, you know, I would say that God did not answer our prayers. He did not do what we wanted him to do, not do what we begged him, not do what I had prayed. I prayed harder than I'd ever prayed in my life. And
I understand that one. Yeah.
Yeah. He didn't do it. And so we begin to wrestle a little bit with each other. I wouldn't say that I wrestled with faith per se, because God in those moments, I expected to be honest, I expected to really wrestle with faith, but God drew near to us in ways that I just can't really explain, that I didn't have the luxury, that I couldn't, you know, say, oh, I don't even know if you're real. It was more of, I don't know who you are.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I know who you are, and I sure don't know what you're doing and why you're doing it. And so, we walked through that and we walked through that together. I think God's grace during that grief period for us was just that we never believed that life apart would fix anything we were walking through.
Right.
And so, you know, we walked through that together. We got our head above water a little bit. You never get over that. I'm not over it today. I'm not planning on ever getting over it. And so, but you do learn to live in a new normal. You know that as well as anybody.
I sure do. You know, and it's, grief is one of those things, you know, in the special needs world, whether it's, you know, if we experience grief throughout this whole journey, you know, when a new milestone comes and our kids don't reach it. And that grief process is just, you know, ongoing in this walk. And so I think it's just something we have to acknowledge and deal with as we go through as best we can. And everybody does that. It looks a little different for everyone, you know.
Yeah, I will certainly say, and we'll have to fast forward my story here to get through it, but I will certainly say that the families that I admire most in the situations anywhere akin to ours, they have grieved.
Yeah.
You know, and the ones that seem to go where I don't want to go are the ones that try to kind of bypass that or suppress that or don't walk through that. And so, you know, the luxury of the life that we have after Elliot is starting an organization called the Ambulance that we begin to live in community with families and with individuals with disabilities. So we got to kind of see these patterns of like what we maybe wanted to do and what we maybe not didn't want to do. And so biologically we had two more children after Elliot. The doctors were like, go for it. And so Elliot would be 13 now, which is unbelievable to say. We still miss him every day.
Yeah.
And so if you fast forward, we had a daughter named Hazel. We have a son named Anders. Anders is in fourth grade, Hazel's in fifth grade. And then to make it more confusing, we along the way, when Hazel was three, Anders was two, we adopted a girl named Lena from Ukraine. So Lena's in sixth grade. So we have a fourth, fifth, sixth grader. Just imagine
whole house,
it.
Man.
And so Lena has all sorts of diagnosis. At the top of that list would be profound autism and cerebral palsy. And so she is nonverbal.
Yeah. And you knew this when you adopted her, right? I mean, like did you know this when you adopted her about her special needs?
Yes. We knew that she was nonverbal, immobile, and malnourished. And we did not know diagnosis wise, particularly everything, because they didn't know. But we knew that she was experiencing profound disability when we adopted her. No surprises on that. We went for her, and we wanted her. We got to know her through some of our work with 99 Balloons globally. And so we set out to bring her into our family, and she has changed us every day since. And hopefully she experiences as much love as we love her. So she's a story all her own, though. She's feisty. She walks in the room, you will know it. She will scream. She will pound. She will bang.
You saw a video of my son hitting his head, you know, we were talking
about, yeah.
Hey, you got a head hitter too. And it's like,
hey, all right. That is the thing that she knows, man. She's smart.
So
she's
does so John smart. Alex. Yep.
She knows like, oh, you don't like it when I do that.
Push that button.
Yeah. Oh, let me see. What do you like about that? And so, Lena has really just a story all her own. It's that feistiness though, for no exaggeration, that is, which is why she's alive today. I mean, she was malnourished. Yeah. She was in a crib in the eastern Ukraine for 23 hours of the day. She wasn't taken care of, you know. And so she certainly has a story, and she has come amazingly far. She's picked up English, and she understands it, though she doesn't speak and is nonverbal. She uses a device, but we're quick to say but none of that. That's not the story. How far she's come is actually not the story. Yeah. But who she is the story. And you know, people like to put us on a pedestal, I think, in the Lena story. And, I'm fond of saying, that if anybody saved anybody, she saved us.
Love that.
So the closer you get to me, the lower I'll come down on that pedestal, I promise you.
Hey, I think you're pretty awesome. I'm telling you, I've gotten to know you over these last, few years. And but I hear what you're saying. But, I want to go back to the story about Elliot, because out of that, you wrote a book several years ago. So
we did.
Tell a little bit about your book that you wrote. I know it's on Amazon because I found it today. So
Way to go. And so we did. We wrote a book. It's called A Story Unfinished. And for me, I am a sneaky creative person. And so I really think that book for me was healing to have to sit down and put into words the way that I best I could, how I felt about my faith, about where God was, about what he wasn't doing, about marriage, all the things that we talked about, to have to sit with it. And to have to deal with it, and to have to say, that's about as close as I can get to what I'm feeling and thinking, really was I believe in writing or creative things for people walking through really difficult things. Yeah. We're not really made to just go through our normal day and pretend like everything's fine.
Right.
It provided for me an avenue to kind of sit with it. And deal with it and talk to Jenny about it and have conversations about it and to try to bring someone else, the reader, into where you're at was really fun. So I love writing, enjoyed writing that. And, during Elliot's life, we started a blog, which was a kind of a new concept. Long ago it was. Yeah. And so from that blog kind of came just this book. And so from that blog, we got to share his story in some crazy, amazing ways, be it on Oprah or Today Show or National Geographic or all that stuff. And so, that'd be real exciting if they thought I was sexy, Becky, or if I was good at anything. It was a little bit different to say, hey, do you want to come on Oprah and talk to millions of people about the hardest thing you've ever walked through? Yeah. And so we tried to really walk the line of being faithful with that, what it looked like to share his story and walk that fine line of just, it was a wild time it was the beginning of there was a video that's called 99 Balloons. It's a 6-minute video. And so that video just took on a life of its own.
I remember seeing that even before I really even knew who you were. We'd found your video. And so, it's amazing. So we'll put links to both to your book and to the video in the show notes so people can find that. But what I think is so amazing, then out of Elliot's life, you talked about starting 99 Balloons. And you know, I spent some time today on your website. I just kind of seeing what all is there. And, you know, I've known for a little bit about what you do, but you do a whole lot more than even what I knew. And it's pretty phenomenal. So share a little bit about 99 Balloons and some of the things you do. You're not just located in Fayetteville, Arkansas, where you live, but you are truly global. And so what is your passion? What do you guys do? And share a little bit about the heart behind 99 Balloons.
Yeah, so we are extremely spread out. You're right in that. And the reason that is, there might be a little bit of strategy in that we always were doing things that we wanted people to do where they were, that we wanted to be able for people to be able to do and experience what we were. The flip side of that coin, to be honest, is we also had zero of the monies. And so we had to do things that easily other people could do. And so
I hear you.
And so it was really fun that reality has caused what we've done to really grow. And so stateside, and in developed countries, we do programs primarily for the church, for communities and for the church, primarily for the church. So we have three programs to help churches engage individuals and families with disabilities. So our oldest, most known, biggest program is called Recess. So it's a respite night. So children, families experiencing disability can drop off their child at the church. They're paired one-to-one with a volunteer. The siblings get to come. They get to see, oh, there's other families like ours. Yeah. And the sibling part is a really beautiful part. And so we started Recess out of Elliot's life here locally. That was our whole vision and our whole dream for 99 Balloons.
Yeah, that's what we're going to do. This is what it's
going to be. That's what we're doing.
And
we loved it. And it was great. And it was small and wonderful. And we loved it. And so, you know, I guess
he did.
And so that now we have Recess sites, somewhere around 45 Recess sites in different churches, and that's growing. So by the end of the semester, kind of operates on a school year, you know, we'll have about 50 Recess sites. That's churches who say, hey, we want to get to know families in our community, and we want to do that by serving them in a real tangible way. So what that does, we are not a respite organization. Everything that we do is about community building to include people and families experiencing disability. And so, you know, we get no pushback when we say, you know, hey, people, community, city, particularly you, church, you should have relationships with people with disability. You know, nobody really fights us on that, but we've seen over time that the reality is that it doesn't happen naturally. There's a reason why it's not happening. It's a problem. And so we've kind of created these, what we call on-ramps. There's this disability world and community, and there's this normal, typical, there's nothing normal. I don't believe in normal, but whatever, for the sake of this discussion, there's this lane. And so we just kind of try to build an on-ramp between them. And so that people don't just hear us talk and say, yeah, I should do that and never do it, but they actually have something to do. And so Recess is for 0 to 12, ages 0 to 12. We have a teen model for 12 to 18 called Remix, which is kind of just a social tool providing relationships for teens experiencing disability. And then Befriend. And so Befriend is our model for adults to build relationships. It's basically elevator pitch. It's a community group model, including persons with disability. It's beautiful and it's simple, and everybody in the world should do it.
I mean, the Befriend, because, you know, I have an adult son with special needs, and, you know, when our kids get to that age, there's just not as many options for them to have that community, you know, together. But you've got it all laid out exactly. Here's how you do it.
So we do. It's really fun. It's the most simple. It is like, remarkably simple. There's nothing that there's no magic to it. Yeah. It is, let's find people, and adults with disability, and let's build relationships with them. And though it is simple, it is profound, because the reality for adults experiencing disability is the only people that they have relationships with are either their family or people that are paid to be with them. Absolutely. And so we get to look at the church and say, church, you're not good at a lot of things. Like there's a lot of things in disability space I really don't want you to touch. Respite was hard enough for us to train you on. However, you are perfectly situated to solve this problem. Yeah. There are people in our community with disabilities that don't have friendships. So get out there and go build them, because that's what Jesus is about. And you know what? They do. And it's really fun to watch. You know, we have moms dropping off their adults and they're crying. And the volunteers don't understand why they're crying, right? Like that's the beauty of it. Is like, yeah. if I feel like my job in life is to get the average human volunteer person who showed up, who's got, you know, wants to be a part, do great, to understand why the mom is crying. If I can make that happen, then Befriend will be massively better. So then we have global work, as you were alluding to. Yeah. We do global work with local partners in countries. So we have partner in Uganda, in Haiti, in Nicaragua, and in India. So we are doing the same thing, though it looks very different. We are community building to include people and families with disability. It just looks very different. So you have to back the bus up in these communities. In these developing communities, we primarily anchor to school. So if children with disabilities are included in school, what that means for their family and what that means for their reality completely changes. Mm. They are now a part of a community rather than being left home alone. Yeah. And so 9 out of 10 children in developing countries with disability do not attend school. 9 out of 10. Yeah. So you are an absolute unicorn if you're a child with disability attending school. And so we've really focused on the school side of it with the younger population, and then jobs is the same way. So jobs, if you have a job as a person with disability, then you are included, you are known, you wake up with a purpose. And so we really think that education and jobs become the ways that people are included in their community globally. And so those are kind of our two anchors, and we do everywhere we are looks a little bit different, but those are kind of the anchors. So we have a sponsorship program where you can help a child attend school in those countries. And so we get to be a part of unbelievable, great things, and we're a very small piece of it.
But it's so cool. You know, you think about, you know, Elliot was here 99 days, but look at the impact that he's having on the world, you know, and so it's just amazing that our kids, the impact that they have, even though they're nonverbal or they are only here for a short amount of time. I just think that that's, you've taken the tragedy, the hardship, the grief, and you've turned it into something beautiful. And so,
well, I'll be quick to say two things. One, God is certainly, if anything's beautiful, it would be my wife and what God has done. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the flip side of that, you know, if there is someone listening who is in a place, you know, I am quick to say, I have seen God do amazing things through the life of my son, and I would give it all back for 5 more minutes with him.
I get that.
Listen, I get more feedback from the Christians, and I love the Christians. I am one. I get more. They can't stand it that I will not tie a bow on our loss. Yeah. And I just, that is the whole idea of the, if back to the book a little bit, but an unfinished story is like, we don't have to pretend that everything is fine today. In fact, our faith tells us it's not fine today. Yeah. Our faith tells us that we look forward to a time when every tear is going to be. Absolutely. Those things are in our future. So for some reason, there's a whole lot of people in the faith community that think the fact that it's going to be okay means it's okay today. And for you and I, that is never going to fly. And for so many people that have walked through things, I'm like, hey, they see through that, and anybody that says that is either lying to themselves or has never walked through anything remotely hard. And so I make those people very uncomfortable. It's kind of a path. Some people jog. I make people uncomfortable. Yeah. It's my thing.
You love it.
No, I don't know if I love it, but I do it.
No, hey, you know, it's part of who Matt Mooney is, right? So embrace the Matt Mooney that you are. So,
well, thank you. It's not a struggle, unfortunately. I might need to struggle with it a little bit more.
Well, you know, we were talking about alluding to death, and you know, you lost your son, and I lost my husband. But Jeff, you know, one of the things he was so passionate about, anybody who knew Jeff Davidson knew that he was passionate about equipping dads to be the men, the dads, the fathers, the husbands that God called them to be. That was his passion. And that's, you know, why he started writing the book before his death, and that you so graciously endorsed. But one of the things that he started was the SOAR event for dads. And so we are thrilled that you are going to be coming to be a part, be the guest speaker at this year's SOAR. And SOAR is the event that we put on. It's a retreat for dads who have a child with special needs. And it's a, you know, we do something for the moms where the moms come in and we have chocolate covered strawberries and they get manicures and haircuts and massages, and, you know, it's all pampering. The guys, you go and eat meat and you shoot guns. And you throw axes, not at each other, but at targets, and
preferably,
you know, go fishing and things like that. So you're going to come in April and be the guest speaker at that, and we could not be more thrilled. So,
well, I am so, and I mean it, I am so excited to be able to come. You know, your husband was, he was the man. This was like what he was known for. He was known for encouraging fathers in this space, and his voice is missed. And thank you for filling his shoes. You know, I remember hearing, you know, I had talked to your husband. I talked to Jeff on the phone, but we had never met. And I remember hearing that he had passed. And then I remember hearing that you were step, like it was still going. Cause my first question was like, well, what's going to happen with what they were doing? You know? You know, and so I, before I even met you, I heard, you know, you were going to step in there. And, I was so like, oh my word, that sounds so hard and that sounds so heavy. And yet it's been really beautiful to watch you, carry on what his heart and his passion was, and honestly grow it from there. Mm-hmm. The things that you're doing, and again, that doesn't make anything better, right? No. You'd give all that back.
Absolutely.
You know, we both know that. But yeah. Aren't we glad that God does take the broken pieces and he does do something beautiful with them? Not something preferable, but something beautiful. And so I am so looking forward to coming up there. I've never thrown an axe.
It's gonna be great, Matt. Get ready. But you know, I'm like the safety patrol at Rising Above. You're like, he's like, okay, you know, we got to make sure everything's covered. And I said, every dad will be signing a liability release. You know.
That's good.
Throw an axe. You
That's good.
Yeah.
Sign on the dotted line before you throw the axe.
Before you throw an axe.
We don't want you going under for that.
No, not going to happen.
Well, I am so looking forward to it. Cannot wait. We were talking about it right before we got on here, and I'm truly, truly looking forward to it. So if anybody's out there and they were thinking about coming, do. Because you really should come. Dads, like, there's nothing that we would probably shy away from more than hanging out a weekend with other guys in our similar situation. I totally acknowledge that. And yet, on the other hand, I think, you know, if you were to pull us, we'd be like, yeah, I totally need community. I need to have truth spoken into my life. And so I'll be there instead of truth, but I'll be speaking nonetheless.
You'll be well. You know what? It was so funny. We were having a conversation with my team here at Rising Above before we started recording this, and we were all like, "We want to be there. We want to come so we can hear Matt speak." So
I think you should come. That's there. There, just come on.
You know, no, we want the guys to get to be, you know, have their. Yeah, exactly.
Well, we're gonna grill meat. We're gonna throw axes. I tried to, when you were telling me about the carnivore evening. Yeah. You know, I tried to pose as a vegan, but y'all didn't buy it. But
we didn't buy it. Not for a second. Well, not for a second. So.
Only almond milk for me.
We can have that for you. We can do that. But, you know, you alluded to, so often dads are like, heck no, I'm not going to go. And because you think that you're going to have to come and like share your feelings and have a kumbaya moment. But that's not what it's going to be. You're not going to be sitting around with a guitar and asking everyone to share their innermost feelings.
Well, I was actually going to do that exact thing.
Great. Well, we need to have another conversation.
I was going to pass a teddy bear, and when you got the teddy bear, it was your turn to talk.
There you go.
No, like, here's what I've come to believe. You know, we are really, as humans, we are really bad about understanding what makes us happy. And, you know, we are a little bit easily, and I am in the same boat, you know, it is easy for me to think in a given week that I would rather stay home, watch the ball game, catch up. Oh, I need to put my Christmas lights up. That's no joke. So my wife would be like, you actually do need to stay home and do something. So, but I mean, we are really not good at finding happiness left to ourselves. And so, any guy, if you poll them, they'll, I need community, that's good. But when it actually comes down to it, like, we're not drawn to those things. And I totally understand that, but we're gonna laugh a lot. We're going to talk about meaningful things a lot. And, you know, I think whether you do this or not, to be honest, it doesn't matter to me, but I hope that you find a group of people to walk through life with. And you, and in particular, you know, this, the absolute, number one enemy in the disability world is isolation.
Absolutely.
It's true. Absolutely. For the people with disability. It's true for the mothers of people with disability, for the fathers of people, for the siblings of people. That the, you know, that's back to our global work with education, with jobs. Like, we are pulling people constantly out of marginalization and isolation by the culture. You know, the hardest thing about disability usually is not the disability. It is the cultural response and our inability to deal with the reality we've been given. It's not, oh yeah, well, I mean, Lena doesn't talk is not the problem. We figured that out long ago. We can communicate with her. Mm-hmm. It's everything that comes with it. And so, you know, the easiest thing to combat is don't walk this road alone. If, whether you're a father or you're a mother or you're a sibling, or, you know, even if you're not in the disability space, it's still true of you. It's just a particularly ripe community of people to be isolated.
Yeah. Could not agree more. And, you know, we say all the time around here, isolation is death. I mean, when you cannot survive this life without being in community with other people. And so I love that you guys are providing that. We provide that at Rising Above. And because we know in our own lives how important that is. And I think, you know, for the thing about this event for SOAR, it's when a group of dads can get together. I think it happens just naturally, sitting around a campfire. You're not going to, you know, saying, well, share your true feelings on such and such. It just happens organically when you're having conversations and those walls start breaking down and the dad is able to share maybe one of the struggles that he's having, or, and then another dad pipe in and say, well, hey, here's what we did. And it's not so force fed. And so that's what I love about this event. And it's just a way for guys to be guys, and you don't have to force a conversation. It just, most of the time it just happens naturally. So.
Yeah. The flip side of the coin on the isolation lie that we can be pushed into is the flip side of that is that I am the only one walking through this reality. Nobody understands our reality. And here's the thing, in disability, there's some truth to that lie. I don't know what.
I don't know what your life is day to day.
Right. Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know what day to day life is like. Yeah.
You know, I know that mine is a complete cluster. And so I assume that yours is the same. But I'm not pretending to know what your life is like. Even though that part is true, to come together with a group of people that have commonality to come around is a beautiful thing. Again, whether you're coming to this retreat or you're listening to this and you're in Sheboygan, Virginia, far away, find humans to walk through. You know, I mean, the hard thing for dads, and we'll talk about this, you know, is dads want to fix it. Dads want to fix whatever it is that is coming against their family. And so disability is such a hard reality for a father, because we just want like a hammer and a nail. We want to go, just, I want to hammer the nail. Like that, I want to do it. I can, I understand it. I want to fix it and do it. Mm-hmm. And so when we're met with something that we really have to learn to live with,
yes,
is such a hard thing, I think, particularly for fathers. And so part of learning to live is to see other people who are doing it well, and honestly see other people who are not doing it well. Exactly. We can learn from both.
Absolutely. And you know, so what would you say to one of those dads, you know, a dad's just gotten a diagnosis? This is one of the things that we do at our podcast, is we always close with the one thing. So what's the one thing you would say to a dad who's just gotten this new diagnosis? They're like trying to fix something that can't be fixed.
I am a radical, wild, out there person, probably, on what I'm about to say. I want you to go back in the podcast, and I want you to remember that I'm also quick to say, you know, nothing makes the fact that I lost my son better. I am not a sugarcoat guy. That's just not who I am. But I believe, and I think the message of my life is that, God is not making your life good in spite of disability, but the fact that God is using disability to make your life great. Mm. And that's a hard pill to swallow. It doesn't take away the hurt, the pain, the isolate, all the things that we've talked about are still true. And I just over and over, scripture is telling us a message, particularly in America, that we do not want to hear, which is like, suffering produces hope.
Yeah.
And these
we
hard,
don't like to hear that. Yeah.
No, we like Mai Tais and beaches, you know, and Netflix and comfortable couches.
Yep.
I get it. I like all that stuff too. And Jesus constantly pulls us back. And that's why the ways of the world and the ways of Jesus are always on a collision course, because Jesus is going to pull us back to, hey, I want you to know me more. And I think you're going to experience joy in a deeper relationship and knowledge of me, not by getting the things you think you want. In fact, the things you think you want make you miserable, and the things you think you don't want, you're going to know me more in. And so I think God has used suffering, pain, loss, disability, all of these things to give me just a beautiful joy. And I'm not perfect in that joy. I'm not pretending to be joyful 24 hours of the day, but an abiding joy that I have because of who he is and nothing else that I think that I've done or can go find or chase. And so I might be a wild one on that, but God has got you on a journey. If you've got a diagnosis, God is, it wasn't outside of his control. I don't blame him for it. But he's not this thrown off as we are.
Yeah.
And if you will press into it and you will live into it, versus trying to make it better, versus trying to fight it, versus trying to be like your peers, right? Like,
yeah,
that ain't going to happen. Yeah. That certainly hasn't happened for us. Our life does not look like our friends' lives. And I'm okay with that. And in some ways that's difficult. In some ways that's beautiful.
That is a great word, Matt. That is a great word. And I couldn't agree more. And, you know, I think you're going to have so much wisdom to pour into these dads, but I think it's going to be fun too. Again, I think that the staff here who are women may like to sneak in the back. You just have to pretend we're not there. And then,
you know, I'm not good at pretending. So you sneak in, I'm going to call you out.
Call it out.
We're going to actually have a woman alert. Like, I'm going to push a button. Woman alert. So yeah. I cannot wait. And I actually hope that I do get to spend a little time with you and your son
It'll happen. And we're just so grateful for you. We're grateful for what 99 Balloons, you know, what you guys do there. Your staff is amazing. I've gotten to meet several of your team members, and, you know, it's an honor to get to do ministry with you and get to see you at these different events. And again, we cannot wait until you come to God's country here in Tennessee. And don't shake your head, you know.
I will call those hogs the whole time I'm there. I want to say again, I want to reiterate, thank you for that. It was very kind, and feel exactly the same way. And I mean it. I am proud of the work that you have done after losing your husband. Keep it up. I'm cheering you on. We love you. 99 Balloons loves you, believes in you. Keep it up, and we'll do anything to make sure it happens.
Hey, we're grateful, and thank you for those kind words. And thanks so much for taking the time to talk with me today. And again, I can't wait to see you in just a couple of months at SOAR. Well, I will not be at SOAR, but exactly.
See you soon. Go Hawks.
Okay. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Rising Above Ministries podcast. We would like to thank Jimmy Thorpe and Patrick Mayberry for providing the music for our podcast today. If you like what you hear, please take a minute to leave us a rating and review. This helps others like you find our content more easily. You can learn more about how Rising Above Ministries is encouraging the special needs community by checking out our website at risingaboveministries.org or by finding us on Facebook and Instagram. We look forward to connecting with you.